Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we have Michael Griffo. Michael Salvatore Griffo, I've read all about you.
Yeah, I have a couple names. Sorry.
Uh-oh. Say hi, Michael. You're in New Jersey, right?
Yes, I am in New Jersey. Hello there, Florida. Hello, Stonewall.
Thank
and
you.
And Nate.
No problem. Let me give you a little background on Michael. Michael Griffo, he said he was from New Jersey. He's the award-winning playwright, and all of his plays have been produced throughout this country and in London. Two of his plays, Cloudy and 5G10B, have been published in Smith & Krause's Best 10-Minute Plays for Two Actors in 2005. And Cloudy is licensed by PlayScripts, Inc., so you can go produce it in 10 minutes anywhere you want. His first novel.
Please do. Please do.
I know. You get like $6, right, or something like that?
Yeah, that's pretty much about it.
I've been in the publishing world a long time. His first novel, Between Boyfriends, was written under a pseudonym, Michael Salvatore, which is his middle name. I just announced that to the world. And is a hilarious piece of gay fiction that is best described as Sex and the City meets Will and Grace. How long ago was that written?
I wrote it a couple of years ago. It was published in 2010.
Okay. All right. He's also written a novella published in Remembering Christmas, a gay Christmas anthology. And I have the first question in the chat room. We have a chat room.
Oh, okey-dokes.
So how does a nice Catholic boy like you grow up to write about vampires? Coke?
Well, you know, I was raised Catholic, but Catholicism really has nothing to do with it. I just have always loved vampires. I was one of those kids. I used to watch Dark Shadows with my mother, made her watch it with me. I don't know what that really says about her parenting skills that she let a five-year-old watch vampires and ghosts and werewolves, and I was scared to death, and I loved the old show Kolchak, The Night Stalker, if you remember.
Yes.
That with Darren.
Yes,
McGavin.
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I used to love that. And Buffy the Vampire Slayer, all that stuff. So I really just grew up loving it, and you know, with Catholicism and Christianity, there's all that religious stuff, immortality, and regardless of what religious background you have, because immortality, of course, is such an important part of vampirism, there really is something hand-in-hand that goes there that you might not realize at first blush, but they really are connected in some ways, and of course, you know, you're drinking the blood, not to get too deep on you, you know, but the body of Christ.
Right.
So there are actually some more connections that one would think.
Well, of course, you called it the Archangel Academy, and one of your characters is named Michael. Come on, give me a break, the Archangel Michael. And your other names are... Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's very funny. I actually do have a fascination with religion. Being a gay man, I can't really subscribe to everything that the Catholic religion does. But, you know, when you are brought up that way, and I went to Catholic school until I was in the fifth grade, until we moved out of Hoboken, New Jersey, and I went to public school, those things stay with you. So I just thought Archangel Academy was a great name. I just fell in love with it. I thought it was great. And I didn't want to name the character Michael. I really didn't. I wanted to name him James. I think somebody told me that there's a James in that Twilight series,
yes, there is.
Which I completely admit I've never read. It was not on my – I didn't – it wasn't on my radar. And then once it was, when I started writing, I didn't want to read it because I didn't want to be contaminated or be accused of stealing anything.
You're
so
not
I had
anywhere
change.
Close. Not anywhere close.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. I know very little about it except the bare bones of the story.
Right.
The reason I chose Michael is I did want an archangel. I wanted him to have an archangel's name. If you know anything about archangels, there's only a few choices. And a lot of them are very, very odd. And the novelty of something like Uriel or Sariel really lost it after a couple pages. So I sucked it up and I named him after me. That's pretty much how it happened.
I didn't even think it was naming after you. It's really interesting that you mentioned the thing about religion, because and immortality and the drinking of the blood, because, you know, I think you're right. I think the fascination with the vampires is something that I think since it's been, what, 300 or 400 years of writing about vampires? How long?
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, it's been an amazingly long time.
Right. So I think there's something.
The 1800s, I guess, was Dracula or something.
Yeah. Right. And I think it was there's even earlier. I looked it up, and I've my notes are somewhere here. But it's something like you're in a genre of that's 300 years old right now.
Good company.
Good company. And you know, to me, and I do this because my husband is a psychiatrist, so everything has this underlying things. He would say, and he said, because I made him read this book. He said to me,
"You made him read it." I like how you said that.
I do. I have this wonderful relationship with him. If I really like a book, I put it on his nightstand, and he reads it, and then he reads it, and then he tells me, you know, things like, "Well, that just proves that vampires are somehow in our genetic psyche, in our community psyche. You know, we have this, you know, community psyche that, you know, one of the psychiatrists wrote about years ago, and so we
like
have this
collective consciousness almost."
Right. It's like chanting and rocking when we pray. There's something. There must be something about vampires, because I think there is. It's just so permeant, you know, in straight world and in the gay world, we're getting a lot of a lot of interesting books, and I love it. I'm gonna give the phone in number right now because we do take calls and comments. The number let's go 805-830-8355. It's on your show page. If you're watching, you can call in. I will interrupt and let you talk because, you know, you're just fascinating. But I do have a chat room going with people in it who are too chicken to call in, which is normal for my show.
Okay.
I know. Well, I have been with the Stonewall Library National Museum for now about 11 years doing authors that come into town. And a few years ago, I started this radio show. And I have put your book in phase three, the newest phase of gay literature. The first phase of gay literature, of course, came out, you know, was the coming out stories, you know, the Stonewall stories,
right.
You know, the you know, being thrown out of the house for being gay, getting caught and going to jail for being gay, all these other things.
Right.
And then, unfortunately, the HIV AIDS plague hit, and we had you could not find a book in the 80s or 90s. That wasn't bittersweet. Right. And now your genre, which you have, I don't know if you've joined it or you were part of the beginning of it, because I've seen you were writing for a while, is that you're writing wonderful novels that just happen to have a gay character. It's not about gay. It's about, oh, like this guy's Swedish and this guy's gay. And I love it. It's great.
I do too, and I really think that it's a reflection of society. I have to say that, you know, absolutely, we still have trials to go through, and there, you know, equality isn't, you know, across the board and all that stuff. But there are inroads being made, especially in literature. And the one really wonderful thing that I've noticed is whenever I've gone out to a book signing or even on Facebook, you know, on Natural has a fan page and stuff. There's a lot of teenagers who they're not fazed at all by the fact that they don't even bring up the fact that Michael and Ronan are gay. They just love the love story. And I always make a point to ask them if they, you know, when it's not brought up. And I would say 95% of the time it is not brought up. And they just think it's a wonderful story. They don't care. And that's really very refreshing because, you know, when we first started doing this, we didn't know. I didn't know what kind of response there was going to be. Because typically in the young adult world, the protagonist is a girl. She's typically a 16-year-old girl. I mean, it's pretty much like the Hunger Games. I'm sure you know that. I mean, that's your standard protagonist in there. And I put in this, you know, not only is he a boy, but he's a gay boy.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that I did deliberately that I wanted, and because, like I said, I knew the broad strokes of the Twilight story, I wanted I didn't want it to be a love triangle. I didn't want there to be this push me, pull me, because there really, as far as I know, there really aren't many young adult novels or any young adult novels out there that feature two young boyfriends, you know, in a loving, romantic, normal relationship.
Right.
And I really wanted that to happen. So that was one of the things that I definitely wanted to happen. And any conflicts that they have, you know, there are some minor ones from the outside world, but it brings them closer together. And any conflicts they might have in their relationship come from within them as they struggle to find their footing in a relationship, you know,
right,
because they're young kids.
Right, and it's just the stumbling, the unnaturalness, the second guessing, all the things
yeah.
that a young adult novel. In fact, I'm giving you like some info. I'm sure you know the info because you know you're in the biz. But young adult gay novels are like one of the best selling parts of gay literature right now. Because we have a whole. I don't know if it's the it gets better campaign. Or if it's the rise of the gay-straight alliances, we have a lot of teachers, even here in the red state, Florida, half of the schools in Broward County have a gay-straight alliance. And,
oh,
you know,
cool.
And they're big all over the country. I think something like, you know, even though, you know, you hear all the beatings in the red states and all that other stuff, something
right.
like 60-70% of, you know, the gay teen population has an access to a safe zone, at least at school part of the day. I think I read that on the Glisten website. They've been very.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're of course aware of the American Library Association Gay and Lesbian Roundtable.
You know, I am not.
Okay, here we go.
New to me.
All right. Well, let me tell you what the Stonewall National Museum and Archives does. One of our goals and missions is the American Library Association, which is a straight group, has an LGBT roundtable.
Right.
And they put out every year, if you go to ALA.org and punch in Rainbow Book Awards and GLBT roundtable.
Oh, I was nominated for a Rainbow Book Award.
I know.
I was telling you
this. Okay, your book is on the list. Now, it won't necessarily go into a school library because there's a whole bunch of barriers to get into a school library.
Right.
But Unnatural is in the Broward County Public Library, which is kind of interesting. Well, what's interesting is that they kind of didn't realize this was going to happen, but if you have a charter school, you don't have a library.
Right.
You use the public library. So these kids are having access to ALA, GLBT, it's called age-appropriate books. They're at the librarian kind of, you know, they're on the shelves. They're usually in YA, young adult, which is the Dewey Decimal
mm-hmm.
System, because I'm in a library almost every other day. And
right.
So I just happened to punch in, you know, Unnatural is in the Broward system. Now, I don't know if it's available at every single branch, but we also take age-appropriate books that we get donated or bought or whatever from our grants and angels, and I take them into the schools, or we have two or three people that take them into the schools and give them to the GSA advisors who can then give them to the students. It's not part
That's
of the
great.
Curriculum. Yeah, so this is what has just made these gay adult novels, Alex Sanchez, yourself, mm-hmm. you know, amazing, amazing stuff. I've interviewed a few, Brian Ketcher, who won Almost Perfect, the transgender teen
mm-hmm.
teen transgender book, and it was the same thing. It wasn't about being a transgender, it was about being an outsider. You know, like the,
right.
you know. In fact, your book reminded me of The Outsiders. You know,
oh, really?
Yeah, the teen book. Because it had, you know, first of all, I think The Outsiders is very homoerotic, only because I'm gay, and when I read it, I got, like, excited.
Right, of course. Yeah. I read that such a long time ago, I don't even remember it that well, to be very honest.
Right. Well, I haven't.
Other than, you know, the feelings around
right.
it.
Right, but it was a bunch of guys.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of hot
guys.
There's
a bunch of guys being together.
there's a bunch of guys like fighting and bitching and, you know, getting pissed off and getting in trouble. And, you know, it's a very homoerotic for its age, for its day. I mean, I'm sure that you think of it being that way.
My favorite homoerotic when I was a kid was A Separate Piece. That
to me,
absolutely adore it. And I actually put that in the novel, in Unnatural, as one of the books that they read. And of course, with Dorian Gray, with the Oscar Wilde, because I just thought that was a perfect. And I also thought there might be something nice, you know, if a kid is reading this, they may not know Oscar Wilde.
Right, or A Separate Piece.
And they should.
Right.
Or A Separate Piece, right? And they should know this stuff.
Yeah, John Knowles. I even remembered his name. My God,
John Knowles, absolutely. And he did. He actually wrote a sequel called "Peace Breaks Out," which, for whatever reason, I didn't think was nearly as good. But I think it was because I read it as an adult, and I did read A Separate Piece when I was 16, and I just remember thinking that for me, these two kids were gay, and they had a relationship.
Correct.
I don't know if that was what he wanted. Deliberately have not done too much research in reading it because I didn't want the truth of what he wrote to cloud my fantasy of what I think the book is about.
Well, but that's all a book is. It's a story in your mind as you read it. And I'll read a book and give a story in my mind, and you'll read a book and have a story in your mind of what the characters look like. You know, even though there's a picture of them on the front cover of your book, but I mean, still the scenes and the smells and all the touch and the feel of a book is very personal, very personal. I mean, I think it's
very personal. They did a great job, I think, with the cover. I had nothing to do with it, as you know, writers
We
don't. You know, we have what is called creative consultation.
Right.
Well, we had a creative consultation, and everything I said was completely disregarded, which is completely fine because they know what they're doing. And I do think for the audience, they came up with really great covers. I'm proud to say that the titles are completely mine, so at least I have that.
I was going to ask you about the titles. Let me give you the audience. First of all, the call-in number is 805-830-8355. The first novel is called Unnatural. The novel that we're actually supposed to be talking about here with our Archangel Michael is called Unwelcome. And I believe in January or February, we're going to see Unafraid.
March 2012 will be Unafraid,
We'll be Unafraid. So you have Unnatural, Unwelcome, Unafraid. You probably have 40 words you can use for the next, you know, 10 years on your books.
Well, you know something, from your mouth to God's ear, we're hoping that I do know what the next title would be. I won't say it. If there will be a fourth one, we'll see. We'll have to see what the viewer demand is. Viewer demand. Reader demand. I'm a child of television.
So am I.
And we'll see what happens. This, you know, as per my instruction from my editor and publisher, you know, it was a 3-book series. They wanted a third book to have an ending, but, you know, leave it open-ended so if there is more demand, we can continue on. So that's what I did. And in fact, right on my kitchen table, I have the final manuscript that I am going over the proof pages and editing that. There's always work to be done.
Oh my God! All the way to the mail, but all the way to clicking it on the to send it, right?
Rewrite.
It's
the publishing industry is really very interesting. You know, I'm still pretty much new to this whole thing, and it's a bunch of pages that I have. I have 410 pages on my desk, and I'm almost done. Yeah, and you really have to go through it, and you have to use a black pen, and you have to make any changes. But luckily, I work. I have a very, very detailed outline. Because I have a full-time job, and I don't have the luxury of time. So when I start writing, I unfortunately, or fortunately for me, I can't sit there and say, oh, what do I want to write today? You know, because I have such a finite amount of time where I have to whip out this chapter. And in fact, the 3 books, they really want them on like a 6-month turnaround, which is
pretty
fast.
That's really fast. Yeah. And you're right. And there isn't the incubators that straight writers have. There aren't the funding, and the National Endowment of the Arts, of course, is bad for everybody, but there are privately funded retreat areas where people go for a year, live free, and just write. I know that from the straight world, and I know that there's limited ones in the gay world. But
very limited. And you know something, I don't even know if I'd want to do that, to be very honest. I don't know if I'd want to sequester myself someplace and just write. I like being on a deadline. I write very quickly. Like I said, I do my outline, which is about 50 to 60 pages of the entire book, and then I break it down into chapters. So when I sit down to write a chapter, I know exactly how it's going to start and finish. So then I have the freedom to play around, you know, with language and phrasing and dialogue and all that stuff.
Sure,
Yeah, so I can have fun with it. But, I mean, every writer has their own particular style that just happens to be mine, and I am lucky that I am disciplined, because if I wasn't, there would be absolutely no way that I could churn these out. Just no way.
And they're amazing. Oh. They're really good. They're really fun. I want to tell the listeners out there that if you're like a bitter old gay guy that like
who's bitter in the gay world.
If you are, I said, I'm trying to give you a new demographic here, okay? These books are such an escape, and they're just painting pictures, and you just spend, you know, a couple of hours a day with the characters, and you don't have to really get pissed off or think, or it's not political, and you don't have to get mad at anyone's parents or the Catholic Church or, you know, or a person or the Republicans or anything. You don't have to do that. There's no don't ask, don't tell. And the daily world that us bitter, gay, cynical men live in, you can't turn on the TV. Gay is the new flavor of the month in not
absolutely.
Good way. In not good ways sometimes.
Completely. I'm totally pissed off with Kim Kardashian right now. I actually had to put something on my Facebook regarding her marriage and the gays.
Oh my God.
You know, we can't get married, and she has a 72-day marriage. So I get it. The one thing that I will say is, and I totally agree with you, even though this is a young adult novel, when I first started writing, I mean, because of Twilight, because of The Hunger Games and a lot of those, a few of the other books of that genre, the lines are blurred between young adult and adult. The few things that I have my own rules. There's the language is clean. If there is violence and sex, because there is some sex, there are repercussions. It's not frivolous.
Right.
So, yes, Michael and Ronan do have a sexual relationship, but they're in a loving, committed relationship, and nothing is graphic. There's absolutely, you know, it's all leading up to the point, and then the reader has their own imagination. But I have had a lot of adults who read it and thoroughly enjoyed it. And like you said, there are some gay men, and it brought back some really wonderful, wistful memories, because I really wrote it as Michael, the protagonist. It's sort of an allegory. His coming to terms with being a vampire is his coming to terms with being homosexual, and that's really the journey that he takes. And I think that, you know, of course, if vampires aren't your cup of tea, you're not going to read it. Mm-hmm. But if you like it and you're gay, you're going to love it even more, because you pretty much get two in one.
Exactly. Sure.
You know?
And
there are a couple other supernatural creatures, too, you know.
Yeah. Just throw them in there. Yeah. Well, and also,
up.
Well, you're allowed to do that. You have creative license, because there is no.
Absolutely.
There's no vampire encyclopedia that if you do it wrong, like Elizabethan, if you wrote an Elizabethan novel, there would be scholars.
That's the beauty of young adults, of the young adults world. As long as you adhere to the mythology that you create, at least what I've, the feedback I've gotten, they will go along with the ride wherever you want to go. They will take the journey. If you screw up and you start to contradict yourself, yeah, that's when you get into trouble. But you can pretty much say, create a world, any world that you want, they're going to go along for the ride.
Exactly. I think young adults have a more open mind for stuff like that.
Absolutely.
That's why they like science fiction. That's why they get lost in video
yes.
games. And we're, you yep. know, as I said, as you get older, you close that part of your life off.
You do. You want more. You want an explanation. You're like, well, no, that's not right. You know,
sure.
they
right.
can't do that. Well,
no,
yes, they
no.
can.
They can't live forever.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, totally, exactly. And, you know, being a vampire, coming of age of a vampire is kind of like coming of age of being gay, like you just said. You know, you have to hide certain things. You have
absolutely.
Certain attractions that are not, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, normal, that the world...
And that's why I called it unnatural.
Right, right.
That's the whole
point.
Reason. And, yeah, he's not natural, and...
Right.
And it's funny because one or two people took umbrage to that title and, you know, was saying in this day and age, and I said, well, I'm sorry, but the world that I live in, there are large pockets of the world where being gay still is not natural or normal to some
exactly.
people.
Sure.
So it's absolutely still, unfortunately, a part of our society's makeup.
Oh, exactly, exactly, and as I said, and the genre, like a separate piece of putting it in a boys' school, or a boarding school, everyone has fantasies of boarding schools. You know,
I remember telling my parents when I was about 8 years old. Now, remember, I grew up in Hoboken, New Jersey, an Italian Catholic family. I went to St. Anne's School. I still, to this day, and I'm not exaggerating, I have no idea where I got it in my head that I would hound them that I wanted to go to a boarding school. I didn't even know what boarding school. And they just looked at me like I had five heads. And I said, I want to go away to boarding school. I didn't know what gay was or straight was. I had no idea.
Right.
I just knew that I was different and I wanted to go away. So, and that's always been with me. So that's why I made Michael go to some boarding school.
That's an interesting parallel.
Yeah.
I had Rich Merritt, the gay marine porn star expose guy who wrote that book, and he's written a novel, he's writing another novel, and he said that he joined he always knew that he wanted to be a marine and go into the military, even though he never knew one and no one in the family was one. And it was that all male, he's just, you know, there was something deep inside, you know, living with men in a barracks and doing push-ups and running and stuff like that. And his parents thought he was nuts. And then, of course, he did, you know, become a Marine. And
just did a few other things as well.
Well, that's not your show. But I'm just saying he did the same, he said kind of the same thing, is that he didn't know where it came from. But it's the same kind of male-male bonding that, you know, you don't really recognize it. But then again, in the vampire world, they don't really always, of course, these are new vampires, so they're not always aware of their attractions and their desires and impulses. That was the word I was looking for, is impulses.
Yeah, they're not.
No, it's
amazing. What I also wanted to do was, I mean, the school that they got, Archangel Academy, it really is populated with gay and straight kids. And, you know, some characters, you don't know what they are at first, to what persuasion.
Right.
And then there are the characters that you think are going to be homophobic, and they're not.
Right, right.
And I think that there's one character in the third book who does something which even shocked me. I don't know how shocking it's going to be. I mean, it's language. It's not, because let's face it, after you've had all these killings and different ways that people kill, that's, you know, shock is a little bit different.
We have one
minute
left.
But for the most part.
We have one minute. Do you believe this went 30 minutes, went like this?
I can't believe it.
I told you it was
I can, because I can talk to anything and anyone.
There's two of us online here doing the same thing. So what do you have to say to young adults who want to be writers?
read as much as you can, write as much as you can, find your voice, just experiment in a whole bunch of different things, different genres. You know, if you want to write a play, write a play, write a short story, find out what you like. I've done a lot. I don't think you need to limit yourself to do one thing, but I think the most important thing is to get a really good foundation of grammar and language, which I don't know if they really teach it as strongly as they did when I was in, and you were in school, I guess.
We got to say goodbye. Did you know that?
We got to say goodbye. That's okay. Nate, it's been a pleasure.
It's been great. I mean, we'll have to have you on when Unafraid comes out in March or April. We'll give it a date. We'll give it a
March.
Month to get up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Much.
Have a great night. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.